Why are you mad, Christina?
Because you're not doing my job for me.
What? And what was my job? Like the laundry, the dishes this time? Like what was the job?
No, you're giving me bullet points and telling me what to think. What do I think?
You're mad because I didn't make a show outline this time?
Yes.
I said, Christina, it's all you go. And you're like,
no, I'm good, thanks. I'll wait for the outline.
All right, you wait. Is it good?
It is.
It's a good intro.
It sounds great.
He said that if I approved it for the outline, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, you know, as long as if it's written in the outline that I like it, then I'm good.
But it's now officially part of the
outline. I have a plan.
So why are you so tired, Christina? What have you been doing all day? What are we going? What's the big thing?
We have been packing up so many things.
The entire life.
My gosh. Well, the entire life would imply that we're moving. We're not.
We're not moving. If you're in Missouri, stay in Missouri. George Hurley can't say that you should leave.
You should. Yeah, no. Go to Virginia. Yeah, stay in Virginia.
He stays in Virginia. You stay here. Yeah. Keep voting.
So we're packing up the majority of our things, and we are heading to Washington, D.C. I took a position at the university just for the summer, for summer camp for kiddos ages 4 to 12. And so it is a deaf and hard of hearing summer camp. I'm extremely excited, also nervous, but I think I'm more nervous that I'm going to forget to pack something.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm just nervous that I have piles of stuff, just stuff sitting in different areas of the house.
Right.
And we have to, you know, we have to have it all very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, making sure that the little bitty bag that's in the corner of the bathroom that you're still working out of,
right,
make sure everything gets back into it, and then that gets into the bigger bag, that gets into the larger bag that actually gets into the back of that car. You know what I mean? That's just, it's, everybody packs like this, right? You pack like 3 weeks before you're supposed to go, and you live out of that bag. Well, not everybody. I think some other people do it differently, but this yes. is the way I tend to do it. But no, it's a big thing because you've been wanting to do this since we got together, since all of our life adventures, right? Whenever we first started getting married, I was like, hey, Christina, I want to teach, and then I want to go back to grad school, and then I want to go and go back to teaching, and then I want to, like, and there was all these different things. You know, you've been wanting to go do something on the East Coast with deaf education, working in a certain capacity with people that are professionals and network for a very long time. And I think it's a great opportunity for you to be able to.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I am a little bit nervous. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, man, I've never been out of Missouri. I've never been away from home this long. I think the longest was when I went to St. Thomas. My younger brother and I went to St. Thomas, and we ended up coming back home early,
mm-hmm.
which is, there was a whole mess with that anyway, but I mean, and that was almost 2 weeks. I think we ended up staying like 11 days, but.
Right. Right. This is three kids.
Yeah.
For over a month living from the frying pan into the fire. So from Missouri to DC,
yep.
Really, I don't know which way that works out more. I don't know if is Missouri the fire or the frying pan? At this stage, I really don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, it'll be good. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Yeah, I just keep thinking, like, three kids, about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep trying to focus on, you know what, though? We're gonna stop at all the vegan places.
Yeah, you're all about
and
the food.
We've got, oh, yeah, me and Vanny, we're foodies. I mean, she comes downstairs, makes the biggest messes.
Yeah, it's so
She's
creative.
Like, Mom, can I have this? Because I have to cut this up into tiny pieces so that it looks nice. She didn't even end up taking. I was like, oh, she's taking picture. Never takes picture. Just has to look nice before she eats it. I don't know if she just looks at it and goes, yeah, okay.
Yeah. The girl uses more toothpicks in the smallest amount of food to make it look like, apparently, like, toothpicks make everything look gourmet, right? Like watermelon, okay?
Right.
Use a fork.
That's Fanny. So, yeah.
But no, it's awesome, and I'm really excited about it too. So that's happening in how many days? We're leaving.
One day.
So 1 day. So that's,
so you know, no pressure.
No pressure. That's why we're tired. That's why I didn't do enough laundry and dishes and outline. That was the
right
issue. So, but in all seriousness, we have to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've been thinking, that I've been hearing you've been saying for a little bit about the cases that have been coming through the Supreme Court, particularly the Dobbs case, and your opinions. And if you just saw the face right now that I received just by mentioning that, you'd know exactly where this episode is going. So first, I'm going to give my reaction, and then we'll jump into Christina's thoughts.
Okay.
All right. My reaction. I have for years, like many, commented that as a cis male, I have no right to weigh in my opinions or impose my beliefs on the decisions regarding abortion. I held that abortion was healthcare of women, and their autonomy over their bodies was not my place. I was wrong. The entire species will be plagued by this overturn of Roe. Our nation will be decimated with poverty and crime in 18 years from this year's decision. Abuse and neglect will be suffered by the youth born from this vanity of extremists. I was wrong because I thought that educating the populace with scientific definitions was enough to help us all see the big picture. That a single-term president can ruin the country for 18 years from now, as the under-supported, abandoned, and disgraced are forced into existence by the expiring generation. The old and antiquated have cursed America with yet another selfish legacy of personal piety. They care nothing for the children, but for their own salvation. Again, they use the youth to purchase their own self-serving sanctity. They save the unborn simply to save themselves, reborn into an eternal life at the expense of children. I was wrong because, again, I underestimated their willingness to sacrifice the future for their own gain. I have a right to protect, a duty to protect my children's future from this disposable culture. Like plastic straws, they exploit the unborn, discarded after birth to secure the convenience of a ticket to the pearly gates. This is beyond health care of an individual. Abortion is health care. The health of our nation and species rests on all our decisions to support and protect those that we birth into this world. Abortion is taking responsibility for yourself and the species. Those that support this overturn care nothing for the sustainability of our country or humanity. They will celebrate their own divinity and sacred salvation as millions suffer under death and despair, born into a world these extremists devour like gluttons, leaving crumbs for those they force into a burning planet and leave behind. It is not pro-life. It is simply the fear of death. And it is this fear that makes some religious adults use violence to save the souls of the unborn so they can leave this world knowing that no fetus was terminated on their watch. A ticket to heaven using the discarded children for passage on the bellies of dead and raped women. Women they have ignored for years. Women that have been waiting for us to listen.
The real, real.
Dobbs versus Jackson pretty much says that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. And Roe versus Wade is overruled and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. And it was 6-3, and it's now saying that it's now given back to the states and your elected representative.
Well, it says to the people, right?
That's the first word used, yes.
Okay, okay. To the people and their elected representative. First of all, I did not elect our representative. I did not choose that person. Why is it, I mean, who is the elected representative we're speaking about?
The supermajority.
Oh, okay. Our elected representative is not the person that I chose. Why is it that person making the decision for my body as a woman? Well, he is a, you know, cis male, you know, why is it his decision? So there are a lot of people who are very eloquent with their words and their thoughts when it comes to maybe everything, some things. There are certain things that really just make me angry. And I don't have the ability, you know, it just hits me. And I don't have the ability to just sit down and think about, you know, all of this and write about, you know, in depth why it's unfair. It's just unfair. And so while I am at times, you know, eloquent with my words, there are certain things where I am just speaking with emotion and passion for, you know, what I'm speaking about. This is one of those things. It's just unfair. And it just makes no sense to me why people are spending more time worried about what is going on with each of the women's bodies when there are so many other things that money could have gone to. Why are you spending your money and time worried about women negatively impacting women where there are so many things that are threatened? Birth control, in vitro fertilization, families who can't have babies. All of a sudden, that's illegal. You know, and our AG thinks that it's amazing that we're the first ones. I mean, we're in the news for the wrong reasons. You know, he thinks it's amazing that, well, I'm going to be the first one to sign it through. Yeah, abortion's illegal. He does not care. There are so many things. And I believe that it does not matter in the case of rape or incest. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And when there's things like ectopic pregnancies and problems, complications, you know, miscarriages, where they sometimes have to go in and take the fetus out. Nope. Why is the money going towards making decisions for women's bodies when the entire world can be helped with that money instead of hurting just a small group of people? It's just wild to me. And it just makes me so angry. And so, like I said, where I can speak eloquently and I can collect my thoughts, form decent thoughts, this is just something that enrages me to where all I feel like I can say is, I mean, I have so much else to say, but all that comes to my mind is just not fair. Why is it your choice? The power is given to the people. I am the people. You don't mean the people. You mean the people who are supposed to be in charge of my body.
And then the interesting point that you pointed out was it's their elected representatives. And Eric Schmidt is not our elected representative yet. He's running on the campaign to be able to become elected as a U.S. senator, right, for the Republican Party. It hasn't even won the primary yet.
Right.
And this is his course of action, his new course of action beyond the failed mask lawsuits, is to now immediately sign Missouri as the first state to be banning abortion and to be the most pro-life state in the United States hours after the decision came through. So that it was a victory lap for nothing. Not even elected representative making the decision for everyone, especially women and marginalized women that don't have access in general to anything. And all of a sudden, he's the one. He's the one that gets to say, this is exactly how this is going to go down immediately inside of our state.
It's taking away women's power to be able to make the choices for themselves. I had 3 cesarean sections, and afterwards I was able to get my tubes tied, and I got to make that choice. And so that was in 2015. It was my last cesarean. They asked if I wanted my tubes tied. I said yes. And so actually in 2013, the doctor said, oh, you want your tubes tied, right? I'm like, no, we'd like one more. And, you know, it wasn't questioned, of course. And 2015, he's like, now you don't want your tubes tied, right? I'm like, nope, take care of that right now, you know?
This is just a reminder that the Delta is a member of the Heartland Pod family of podcasts. Join us every other Wednesday as we grow this show into a reflection of our lives where family, school, life, science, and politics all converge. Check out some of our other shows, including the Heartland Pod, the Flyover View, High Country, and Let's Have a Chat. Also, you can check out some of our collection of family projects on glassroomhive.com, like our family YouTube channel called Stink Finks, Nicholas's 2-minute lectures on his Hourglass Science channel, and our published books, whether it be our children's book, Dharma and Eldon and the Sandwich, or our new adult fiction like the Murray series. Another way to be transparent about progressive lives in the Midwest, glassroomhive.com. Now back to our show.
I never take for granted the fact that I had the choice. So here we are, 2015 to 2022, and I cannot believe that this is what is happening. I'm fortunate that none of this happened before then. So I know I'm lucky. I know that I'm privileged in a way to, I've already made all my own choices. I have 2 daughters. How is that fair for them? I have a son who will have a girlfriend. And
if he chooses.
Right. And how is that fair? How is that right? You know? No, I just, like I said, you and I, maybe it's why we work so well together. We process differently. We think differently about things. You are great at making bullet points and discussing things and figuring out how you want to discuss it all. And you sit there, and that's why you ruminate and think about it for hours before you can even, Right. And I come with more emotion, and all I can do is just sit here bewildered at the fact that I'm good. I've made my own decisions, but there are so many kids when they, you know, start to grow up, my own children, you know, and, you know, I've talked to multiple people who said, yeah, you know how easy it is to get a vasectomy? My spouse got a vasectomy within a week of scheduling the appointment to talk about it. And women, you have to sign off. I mean, your husband has to sign off. Your husband has to sign off.
Yeah, that's trash.
It is.
That's complete. That's ridiculous.
Like, I just had to say it twice. So people were like, hold on, what did she say? No, she said it.
Yeah.
The man has to sign off for the woman that it's okay. What? So it's just a very emotional topic.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think there's a certain degree of like me being able to be removed from it because it's not physically me. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about like how like I'm able to step aside and analytically like digest it and, you know, ruminate and make bullet points, like, because like I'm able to step outside of it and logically think through it because it's not my body that's being threatened. Like, I'm not being put onto this thing where somebody legitimately has power to say, you cannot use the thing that you walk through life in the way that you want to. And it could immediately be repositioned into something, some other trajectory of life based on decisions that I didn't necessarily make, you know, without intent. But things don't go the right way. Things happen completely outside my power. And all of a sudden, here I am, and I'm like, well, this is my vessel that I move through life with, and it's mandated by these other people that I never elected, that I never actually had control or power over. I don't have to deal with that. Like, that's not my physical thing. You know what I mean? Like, I can disassociate from it, and I can be like, well, I can analyze it, and I don't have an emotional attachment to it because legitimately, it's not because I'm a male and, you know, I have a position of power. I'm super, like, it's not offending me because it's not threatening my very livelihood. I mean, I would be probably in your position a lot to where I'm like, people are like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, and if you think about it, like, there are a lot more people who are closer to it than even myself, because it, looking at it, you know, from a very analytical perspective, you are a man. I am a woman who's already had my children, and our children are still my, you know, 10, 9, 7.
Right.
They're very young. So it's not something I have to deal with right now. There are people going through it right now.
Right.
That's just.
Yeah, we have, like you're pointing out, like we're done with having our own children.
Yep.
We've had procedures done so that will be more guaranteed, right? That we will not have to make a decision in the future, right? One way or another. And then our children are under the age of being active to the point of where they would have to potentially make that decision, or be put in a position where they would have to make that decision.
Right.
Whether they be male or female. Or non-binary, I don't know, however they want to, I mean, like, the however point they is identify. That it's not anyone's place to position what their identity is upon making decisions or whatever it is. And I feel like we're setting our identity. I'm dad jokes all day, man. You know what I mean? Like, your mom, we've assumed our roles because we're comfortable in that and we're supportive of each other in those. And I'm happy with that. But it's making my children identify. It's taking their power a lot away. And I think that's also a struggle that I have, is that people before me fought really, really hard to give us those opportunities, to give you those opportunities. I was able to indulge it, embrace it, live with it. You know, girlfriends, you, like, all that kind of stuff, like, this was not a thing. We didn't have to stress about this as much. And here I have a son and two daughters coming into the world, and I'm terrified.
Yeah.
And angry.
I'm also embarrassed. Did I tell you what my initial reaction upon finding out about the decision, what my initial reaction was?
No.
I was at work. And my phone vibrated. I was at recess. And it popped up saying that Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I showed somebody there. And she said, when did that happen? I said, apparently just now. And my initial thought, you know, my student was off playing. As I just sat there for a second at the picnic bench and I thought, why do I even try? Like, what's the point? I just had absolutely no hope, you know, and I knew all these rallies, all of these things were going to be scheduled, but I was just so hopeless. Like, this, how is this right? How is this fair? It just blew me away. But yeah, just complete and utter hopelessness is what I felt at that moment.
Yeah, and I think that that's actually what it is. Like, you sitting on that playground looking out and seeing all those kids.
Right.
Like, that's what you have to maintain hope for, is because in between here now and those kids growing up in the world that they're going to have to be responsible for their reproductive health by themselves, it's what we do now to fight for their future.
Absolutely.
That the generations before us did so that we could have the futures that we had.
The Delta is a Mid-Map Media production. You can check us out at heartlandpod.com or follow us on Twitter at @TheHeartlandPod. Please also consider signing up for our Patreon so that you can get exclusive merchandise as well as additional shows. And we'll talk again another time.